breath and looked around. They had moved the pot to the place just off the corner of the terrace near the library, to what would become the Mediterranean garden. The landscape of green oak, almost every bit of it Simon's doing, sat comfortably around the late 19th century house and reflected its arts and crafts style. The shrubbery along the drive echoed the native hedgerow without copying it plant for plant. The modest walled garden, replete with small fountain and veg plots, sat at the far corner, away from the house. A generous stone terrace ran along the back and turned a corner when it reached the sitting room. Prue found that corner of the terrace an excellent place to soak up heat from the stones. Below the terrace, and running parallel, a sunrose walk led to the Mediterranean garden. The adjacent wildflower meadow surrounded the hornbeam walk, which led to the wood. In front of the house, high yew hedges enclosed the enormous parterre lawn with its deep borders. Now, waiting for Simon's return, Prue knelt down, took hold of the rim of the broken pot, and gave it a shake. "You did a good job mending it," she said quietly. "Look how long it's lasted." Simon reappeared with a pair of wire cutters in his hand. He shrugged.
"We'll use the broken pieces as mulch. A good Mediterranean touch."
The storm clouds had cleared, for now. "We could smash it into tiny pieces and mix it with the chippings," she offered.
"Good thing I've got some help in the garden now."
He rubbed a hand on his trousers.
"I'm sorry," he said.
"Me too.
I didn't realize what it would be like to have a know-it-all little sister."
He gave Prue a crooked smile. They set to work repotting, snipping the wire, pulling the broken pot off, and laying the root ball on the canvas to tease out and trim the roots. Sibling gardeners. Most days, she still couldn't believe her good fortune. Working alongside her brother, whose existence she'd discovered only a couple of years before, and living in a large house in the English countryside with her new husband, it astounded her. Brother and sister Park, both used their mother's maiden name, might not always think alike on gardening, but looked, if not alike, at least related. Simon, in his mid-60s, was only a couple of inches taller than Prue, who stood at 5'7", but he had more than a decade on her in age. He was solidly built and had a burst of dark brown hair well marked with gray. It frizzed on the end, just as Prue's did. When she saw Simon walk round a corner or silhouetted against the autumn sun, Prue had to catch her breath. He was so much like their father, the father he never knew. Life at Green Oak had begun with such hope. At last, here was her chance to claim the family she never had, to grow close, as siblings should be. The first few weeks were promising. Prue and Simon worked well together, planning the big garden renovation, laying out a schedule of work, ordering plans. Then Birdie died. Birdie and George Park had brought Simon up, telling him his parents had died in a car crash. In truth, his parents, Prue's parents, had left him behind in England. Abandoned children were common then, casualties of the war. Simon wasn't truly abandoned, of course. He grew up happy in a loving home with maternal relatives, but the siblings never knew of the other's existence. Not until Prue moved from Dallas to London, where she worked for a year as a jobbing gardener. The Wilsons, living in Chelsea temporarily, had hired her.
"Our gardener at Green Oak in Hampshire," Mrs. Wilson had said, "has the same surname as you, Park."
Not long after, the decades-old secrets began to unravel. Since Birdie's death, George had died ages ago, Simon's anger was quick to flare, as if the embers of resentment had been banked for many years, and someone had now